You're listening to AWW Radio, the podcast of American Women's Wrestling. What is up, wrestling friends? Welcome to AWW Radio, the podcast of American Women's Wrestling. I'm your host, Derek Lewandowski, and I'm just coming back from Tiffin, Ohio, where I got to see some amazing women's college wrestling at the National Collegiate Women's Wrestling Championships, the national tournament for NCAA programs. But it's time to get off the NCAA train and time to get on the NAIA train, as an amazing event is coming up this weekend. The page turns, and we are now getting ready for the NAIA Women's National Championships in Jamestown, North Dakota. Very excited to watch this event. There's a lot of storylines. I think the team race is going to be fun to watch. So, you know, my hope here in this show is to kind of get us ready as we go weight by weight and look at some of those storylines and, you know, some of the things that are going to play out in the mat this weekend in North Dakota. First, just by way of information, schools can enter up to 12 wrestlers at this national tournament. There's 10 weight classes, and they can put maximum 2 per weight. So, you know, most schools send 12, and then at 2 weights, they'll have 2 wrestlers from their program. The NAIA, unlike the NCAA, which had their first qualifying process this year, they had 4 qualifiers. The NAIA doesn't have qualifiers right now, but they do have conference tournaments, and I think the coaches, you know, basically use those to determine which of their athletes can qualify for the NAIA Nationals. Within the NAIA, you've got the Mid-South Conference, the Sooner Athletic Conference, the KCAC, the Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference, the Heart of America. And when it's not a pandemic, you've got the Cascade out in the West Coast that was canceled this year because of COVID. But I think the coaches, you know, use those events for determining their qualifiers. And also those events play heavily into seeding for this tournament. Only the top 6 at the NAIA qualify for All-American honors. 7th and 8th place get honorable mention. So that's worthy of note. Just a few disclaimers as we kind of get into this show. Five things. Number one, outside the top 5 in the NAIA, full disclosure, I am not as familiar with the NAIA. And I think you can give me a pass, especially this year because of COVID. And there just wasn't as much wrestling, and there wasn't a lot. There wasn't as much of a sampling to even, you know, wrap my mind around the landscape of the NAIA. There certainly was, you know, a significant amount of wrestling, but, you know, you got a lot of new teams in the NAIA. You've got, you know, Texas Wesleyan, a second year program, Bruton Parker, Central Methodist. You've got the first year program, Indiana Tech. So, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around some of those young programs and who they have in their lineups. I think you're going to be surprised, you know, as I dug into researching this, I think you're going to be surprised at how well some of these young women do from these new programs. Another disclaimer, my third one, you know, like I said, there was a significant amount of wrestling, I think, especially in the East, you know, East Coast, I think in, you know, Mid-America, but of course on the West Coast and the Northwest, there's just some programs that we didn't get a real good look at. I mean, Southern Oregon University, Eastern Oregon, you know, just not much of a sampling at all there. So who are they? What are we going to see when they show up at this tournament? How good are they? I know that SOU had a good recruiting class. There's a little bit of a mystery around that. And, you know, as I interact with different coaches, I think they sense that too, that, you know, there's, you kind of got the pecking order and the team rankings, but, you know, SOU could really make some noise. They're ranked number 6 right now. How good are they? We don't know. We're about to find out as we watch the NAIA championships. So, you know, that's a little bit of a disclaimer there just because of the lack of wrestling on the West Coast and Northwest. And then to go back to this idea, because they didn't have any qualifiers, you know, the nice thing about the NCAA doing that this year is it kind of gave you a clean 16-woman bracket. Because of, you know, how many programs there are and there's no, you know, qualifying event, it's just made these brackets a lot bigger than the NCAA. You know, some of these brackets have, you know, 32 women brackets. Matter of fact, if I go through this, of course, they're not full of the entire 32, but, you know, you got 21, 26, 23. You know, you got some really full brackets here. I mean, I'm looking at 155. I see one bye. So 31 women there, you know. So there's just a lot of women in these brackets. And again, because of that, it's hard to wrap, you know, my mind around, you know, all of these wrestlers and who they are. And I think all of us are going to be surprised at some of the dark horses. I think there's going to be wrestlers who make the podium, who make a run, who make a Cinderella run, maybe that we're not even as familiar with because we didn't have the sampling or the matchups didn't happen this year. That would really help us figure out kind of where they are in the pecking order. So it's going to be really interesting to watch for that reason. But again, a little bit of a disclaimer there. And then lastly, gosh, there was no NAIA last year. So we don't even have that to look at and go, well, this, you know, last year in the NAIA, this woman was a national champion and this young lady was a, you know, she was a finalist and this one was an All-American. We don't even know. Like, we had the conference tournaments and then we have the heartbreaking stories coming out of, you know, I remember talking to Ashley Sword from Life of just, you know, going to North Dakota, being in the hotel, getting ready to wrestle and then getting the word that the whole thing is canceled, you know? So we didn't have that tournament. So we don't even know who are some of these women compared to the other ones? Like, when you get to that postseason, you get to that national championship. So all that to say, there's some mystery around this event, which kind of makes it fun too. So, you know, I'm not sitting here going, I got a really good read on exactly what's going to happen. Gosh, there's so much mystery around some of these women and some of these programs and some of these wrestlers. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to watch. This is going to be the first, you know, NAIA national tournament in 2 years. There's no Menlo. So it's just going to be very, very interesting to watch this weekend. As far as the team race goes, anyways, thank you for letting me give those disclaimers. I hope you'll give me a pass if you know, at times I sound as uninformed as the next person. But we're going to do our best here to kind of work our way through this and talk about what we do know and the storylines that we do have. As far as the team race goes, here's the rankings right now, the final rankings in the NAIA. You've got Campbellsville, number one. They were the Mid-South Conference champions as well. You got Life University coming in at number two, and they've actually got 10 seeded wrestlers. That might be the highest of any team. Campbellsville has 9. Number three ranked, you've got the Wayland Baptist University program. They won the Sooner Athletic Conference. Number four, you've got Grandview. Number five, Cumberland's. And then number six, you've got a tie in the rankings with Southern Oregon and Jamestown. Jamestown had 8 champions out of 10 weight classes in the Kansas Collegiate Athletic Conference. So, you know, they've got a good young squad there. Again, like some mystery, you know, how do they fare against the top women in the NAIA? We shall find out. But as far as the team race goes, you know, I think Campbellsville is the favorite. They're ranked number one. They won the MSC. But I think Life is right in this. I think, you know, Wayland Baptist is going to have some say as to what happens here. I do think that Southern Oregon's a little bit of a mystery. You know, how well can they do here? But, you know, if we're just talking about what we do know with Campbellsville and Life, I think it comes down to this. If Campbellsville's wrestlers underperform their seeds, you know, and Life gets a few wins and a few, you know, upsets and places higher on the podium, I think Life is right in this. You know, in particular, you got to watch 123. How do Ghent from Campbellsville, you know, how does Julie Vidalin from Life University, you know, how do they perform in that weight class at 130? Life and Campbellsville both have 2 entries at that weight class. If they hit each other, those matches could have, you know, could have some consequence as far as determining who wins the team race in this event. At 136, how far does Robeson go for Campbellsville, you know, at that weight? You know, she is, what seed is Robeson? She's a two seed. So, you know, how well does she do there? I think, you know, some of those weight classes and how those wrestlers and programs perform, you know, at 155, how good is Kendra Thompson from Campbellsville? We're not really sure right now. We'll find out. So, you know, as we watch these wrestlers compete at these weight classes and watch, you know, watch these this tournament play out, it's going to be fun to see how the team race plays out. So let's start going through weight by weight now. Starting with 101. You know, you've got the number one seed, Nina Pham. You know, just a wide body of work, a lot of success in college and even outside of college. You know, she's been ranked top 10 at the senior level. So this kind of seems like Nina Pham and everybody else. But, you know, you got to wrestle the matches, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this weight class because there's a lot of good wrestlers. One of the interesting things, too, to note about this tournament is they seeded the top eight. Then it kind of looks like they just spun everybody else out in the bracket, and they landed wherever they landed. You know, like you've got Ira Navarro from Providence, who was a WCWA All-American, a two-time Hawaii champ. Well, that's who Nina Pham's match is in the first round. I'm not saying Pham doesn't win that, but, you know, that's not a gimme warm-up match. You know, that's an All-American there in that first, you know, round of 32 match with Nina Pham. You know, then down at the two seed, you've got Elizabeth Dosato from Cumberland's. She was the MSC champion. She had a win over Unity Cordova from Life, who's seeded number five. But if you look back in the season, Dosato was 1-2 against Cordova. So, you know, if that match happens again, is there a different result? So, you know, Dosato is the number two seed, but I think a lot of these women after Nina Pham are pretty close to each other. You know, you got Ivy Navarro, who I'm assuming is the sister. They wrestle for the same college, Providence. Ivy Navarro is the three seed. She's a senior. She was second at the MOVAL last year. And anytime I see that, I kind of pay attention because right now I think the Missouri Valley Open, even though it didn't happen this year, is sort of the that's sort of the multi-division nationals because that's where you get NAIA and NCAA schools colliding, you know, the top NAIA and NCAA. And Ivy Navarro placed second at that tournament last year. That's a friggin' good placing. She was also fifth at WCWA's. I think that might have been 2 years ago, if I've got my history right. So, you know, that's a tough wrestler there on the three seed. She could hit Dosato in the semi if it goes chalk. But wait, in the bottom of the bracket with them is the sixth seed from Midland, Esther Walker, who got third in the WCWA last year. So, you know, again, I think a lot of these women after Nina Pham are very close to each other, and it's very hard to predict how that goes. You know, Dosato is a freshman. She did win the MSC, but, you know, does she get through the whole bottom of the bracket with all these tough, you know, these tough wrestlers that she's got to get through? You know, we'll see. You know, she's a freshman, and, you know, freshmen, this is their first national tournament, and you know how they handle the pressure, and not only that, how do you handle the marathon of a 32 woman national tournament like this? You know, when generally when you go to nationals, there's no easy matches. So every match is going to be a battle in some way. You know, I think the top wrestlers sometimes, you know, kind of make it look easy, but you know, there's all good wrestlers here. All these women are here for a reason. So the bottom of that bracket is going to be really fun to watch at 101. Very similar to the NCAA. That was a very fun weight class to watch in the NCAA. This one's going to be fun too. You know, on the top side, you've got Unity Cordova seated five and Estella Trevino from Southern Oregon seated fourth. You know, they could hit in the quarter on the top side there. And Trevino was, by the way, the 2020 WCWA champ. So, you know, again, some good matchups. Right in the quarters there, not to mention the semis. So, you know, I think the semis at this weight class are going to be fire. It's going to be fun to watch. But I do expect to see Nina Pham get through the top side and make that final. And whoever comes out of the bottom, I expect to see Nina Pham as the NAIA national champion. But again, got to wrestle those matches, and it's going to be fun to watch this weight class. Okay, make sure I didn't miss anything. Worthy of mentioning, Elizabeth Dosado, the 2-seed, actually did wrestle FAM this year in the finals at the Grandview Open, and she lost 10-0. She also had a loss to Angie Gomez, who just won the national title for the NCAA women. She lost to Angie Gomez 10-0 as well. So, it looks like FAM is the heavy, heavy favorite there. Okay. Enough about 101. Let us move on to the 109 weight class. Michaela Campbell, appropriately, who is on the roster at Campbellsville University. See what I did there? Campbellsville. It was kind of destiny for her to wrestle for this program, right? Michaela, I'm pretty sure, let me look back in my notes here. Michaela Campbell, she's got to be hungry to win it all because I don't think she's won a national title yet. No, she fell twice in the WCWA finals, 2019 and 20. Sorry for the delay there. So she's got to be hungry. You know, as a number one seed, she's really got to be hungry to win that national title. She's in a good position to do it here. But again, I mean, this is a very deep weight class. A lot of, very good wrestlers in this weight class. The 2-seed at this weight is Rayana Sayagun from Jamestown, freshman. She had some losses early in the season at 116. She actually had 3 losses in one tournament. Lost to Emily Ferguson. I think she lost to a teammate. But then she dropped down to 109. When she dropped down to 109, it's like the stars aligned and, things just really started going well for her at that weight. She's been very tough at that weight. She has a win over Asia Ray, who's the 3-seed. Asia Ray was the 2019 WCWA champion. Sayagun has a win over her. And then you've got this tangle of women who have all beaten each other. You've got number 5, Jane Stevens, number 4, Tayani Soares. You got Corey Phillips, who's not seeded, but is very tough. You've got Catalina Bartelt, seeded number 7. Again, it's just kind of this tangle of women who are all very close to one another. And what it's going to come down to is, who's wrestling their best, who's feeling it, who can go on a run, at the national championships. Those are the ones who are going to be on the podium. Those are the ones who are going to get the big wins when it matters. Who's at the best version of themselves this weekend. So in some ways, you just throw the results out and you just wrestle those matches and you see who the hottest wrestler is. This weekend, if we're talking about dark horses, I'm going to have to go with Catalina Bartelt from Life. Bartelt actually had the number 1 seed, Michaela Campbell, on her back at the Mid-South Conference in the semis before Michaela Campbell flipped the script and flipped her wrestler to her back and got the fall. And Campbell, of course, ended up winning the MSC. But Bartelt came back and took 3rd with a win over Corrigan Wilkie from Indiana Tech. So Bartel's a very tough wrestler. Look for her to go deep in this tournament and look for her to outperform her seed. She's my dark horse. And that is 109. So with that, let's move on to... You know what I want to do actually before I move on? I forgot to do it the first weight class, but I want to read the seeds. So actually, let's go back to 101, and I'll give you the top, I'll give you the 8 seeds that they have here. Everybody else is kind of spun out in the bracket, but I'll give you the 8 seeds. At 101, number 1, Nina Pham from Wayland Baptist, number 2, Elizabeth Dosado from Cumberlands, number 3, Ivy Navarro from Providence, number 4, Estella Trevino from Southern Oregon, number 5, Unity Cordova from Life, number 6, Esther Walker from Midland, number 7, Madison Brown from Texas Wesleyan, and number 8, Alora Couch from Grandview. The top 8 seeds at 109. Number 1, Michaela Campbell from Campbellsville. Number 2, Rihanna Sayagun from Jamestown. Number 3, Asia Ray from Wayland Baptist. Number 4, Tayani Soares from Indiana Tech. Number 5, Jane Stevens from Cumberlands. Number 6, Emma Cochran from Grandview. Number 7, Catalina Bartelt from Life. And number 8, Jessica Cordor from Missouri Baptist. Okay, onward to 116. Wow. Man, I am excited about the potential final for this weight class. And I mean, actually, there's several versions of what this final could be. And, you know, either one of them could be a really good final. You got Peyton Prusson, undefeated, number one seed. She's had an amazing year. She had an injury last year that cut her season short. We didn't get to see her in a full season, but when we did see her at the Missouri Valley Open, again, the sort of functional multi-division nationals, she took second there as a freshman. I mean, right out of the gate, you know, had a really, you know, great start to her college career. And she brings her undefeated record to the national tournament this weekend, as does Camille Fournier from Texas Wesleyan. She's 19-0 as well. At least that's her record on track wrestling. Peyton Prusson did beat her a few years ago in high school, but who knows? People develop, you know, a lot changes over a year, let alone a couple of years. Again, Prusson's wrestling at a very high level, but Camille Fournier is too. You might remember Fournier at the Fournier. I'm sorry if I'm gonna use both pronunciations so that if somebody says you said her name wrong, I can say no, I didn't. I said Fournier. And if it's the other one, I could say, no, I didn't. I said Fournier. So I got to talk to Coach Bedford, make sure I get her pronunciation right next time. But you might remember Camille Fournier at Senior Nationals. She had a really good match against Amy Golding, kind of a wild 12-12 matchup. You know, Golding was a world medalist in the junior level, and that just kind of shows you what kind of a wrestler she is. So she's the two seed. She does have a win over Rayana Sayagun. She pinned her this year. Of course, that was Sayagun's down at 109. Fournier has two wins over Bartoszewski this year, who's the four seed from Jamestown. And then at number three, the number three seed, you've got Stefana Jelasic. Jelasic, pretty sure, had a loss to Prusson. I think it was a pretty convincing win by Prusson not too long ago. But, you know, Jelasic's very tough. And you know, she's a very scary wrestler who's capable of beating anybody. You might remember, I think it was on the Flow card. It was on one of those, you know, those COVID cards that they had online. She wrestled Emily Shilson and, you know, had a 7-2 match with Emily Shilson, who's, you know, ranked number four in the senior level right now and hasn't lost in college. So, you know, Stefana Jelasic, freshman, but already right there, you know, with the top of her weight class. In college, you got Bartoszewski seated number four. I'll give you the top eight seeds here. You got number one, Peyton Prusson from Life. Number two, Camille Fournier from Texas Wesleyan. Number three, Stefana Jelasic from Lourdes. Number four, Josie Bartoszewski from Jamestown. Number five, Serenity Durham-Gorey from Midland. Tough wrestler. Number six, Alyssa Schuler from Indiana Tech. Again, that you know, pesky startup program that's making all this noise. Number seven, Charlotte Fowler, three-time All-American from Campbellsville. Schuler, actually, the sixth seed, had a win over Fowler at the Mid-South Conference Tournament. That's why Fowler's seeded seven. Then number eight, you've got Ariana Marufo from Jamestown. And again, you know, I look throughout this bracket and it's like some of these women who didn't get seated, I mean, they're very, very tough. Carolina Johnson from Southern Oregon. She's going to go against Charlotte Fowler. You know, that's going to be a good match in the very first round, round of 32. Raven Guidry from Oklahoma City is going to go against the sixth seed Schuler. Guidry, if she wasn't an All-American a few years ago, she was blood round maybe at WCWAs. She's a very good wrestler. And I got to say, shout out to Jasmine Alexander from Grandview. You might remember Jasmine was the wrestler who had a terrible, terrible, not only almost career ending, but almost life ending accident last year. And we put out a story on her. The title of the article was Stay With Me. If you Google that, you know, in American Women's Wrestling, you can read that really inspiring story of her comeback. But she's in the bracket. She's a qualifier. I'm so happy for her, and I'm so happy to see her name in here. So yeah, she's in the group here. She's from Grandview, and you got Emily Ferguson from York. You know, I already mentioned she had a win over. Didn't I say she had a win over Sagan? Yeah, she had a win over the 2 seed at 109, Rayana Sagan, earlier this year. She's not even seeded, and there she is on the top side of the bracket. So again, there's just a lot of good wrestlers here, and a lot of them are not seeded. So it's hard to predict. You know, I think you're going to see some of these unseeded wrestlers make the podium and, you know, knock some of these seeds off the podium. But it's going to be fun to watch. Another very tough weight class with a very compelling, very compelling final. You know, if we're talking dark horses, you know, I don't think Emily Ferguson gets through Prussen, but, she could end up on the podium for sure from York. And I guess Carolina Johnson from Southern Oregon, again, another very tough unseeded wrestler, could be a dark horse and make some noise. So keep an eye on those women. Keep an eye on that bracket. 109. Nope. Sorry. Well, that was 116. Okay. And let's move on to 123. I'm just going to read the seeds right away. Number one, Julia Vidalin from Life University. Number two, Jasmine Hernandez from Lyon. Number three, Caitlin Pizzo from Campbellsville. Number four, Ashley Wetzel from Lyon. Number five, Nicole Moore from Baker. Number six, Jacqueline Gent from Campbellsville. Number seven, Jasmine Davis from Wayland Baptist. And number eight, Rebecca Cordova from also from Wayland Baptist. Julia Vidalin. Can anybody stop her? She is so friggin' tough, so strong, so athletic. WCWA champ last year, Mid-South Conference champion. And oh, by the way, she just wrestled Alicia Hauk, top 10 senior, senior ranked wrestler, and only lost 8-6. I mean, so she's right at that level. She's going to be very tough to bet against to make the final on the top side there. But on the top side, you've got Nicole Moore. I think she's a freshman from Baker. She dominated the Grandview Open, right through the final. Lost to Jasmine Hernandez, the 2 seed at the York Open. She lost to her 12-2, but that was earlier in the season. That Grandview Open tournament is what I'm looking at. You know, if that version of her wrestles in this tournament, look for her to be very competitive. Ashley Wetzel, loves to throw those headlocks, loves throws. You know, that it's always exciting when you have somebody who has that style, because, you know, they could end the match at any time and they're never out of the match. So don't count Wetzel out at the 4 seed. But meanwhile, you've got two unseeded wrestlers that I'm looking at. You got Glory Konechny from Southern Oregon, who's not seeded. Maybe if they had a full season, she would be, because she's certainly, in my mind, she's certainly top 8 in this weight class. And then you've got Teresa Rankin from Lourdes. She's a transfer from McKendree, 2-time All-American. I think she placed as high as 5th or 6th, I think, at the WCWA maybe 2 years ago, when it was still a multi-divisional event, or I guess it was multi-divisional last year. But, you know, when you still had like all the top 5, top 10 teams coming out to that, and the multi-divisional separation hadn't started yet. Rankin was an All-American there, and she's not seeded here. Then there's Samantha Weeks from Jamestown. I mean, my goodness, the top side has 3 unseeded women who could easily be seeded and could easily, you know, pull some upsets and go deep in this tournament and make that semi and you know, give Julie Vidalin a good match. So that's going to be really interesting to watch. Interestingly, because Nicole Moore, gosh, is she a freshman? It's escaping me. Nicole Moore there, how well she's wrestling, and then these unseeded women here, you know, who could really pull some quote unquote upsets. It's going to be a fun, you know, top side to watch. At the end of the day, I think Vidalin gets through that. She's very deserving of that number 1 seed. And if she wrestles, if the version of her that we saw all year is wrestling this weekend, you know, I think she gets through the top side of that bracket, but going to be some tough matches along the way. Bottom side, Jasmine Hernandez, 2 seed. She's got a lot of wins. Not a lot against, you know, the highest ranked opponents. You know, she's got wins against ranked opponents, but, you know, she beat Wetzel and beat Emmanuel's Hurley. Her only loss this year, I think, is to Sofia Mirabella at the Emmanuel Open. She lost to her, but that was a tech fall. And Sofia was, I think she was, she took third, I think, in the NCAAs. So, you know, is Jasmine at the end of the day, is she in the final? Is she the number two? I think she makes the podium. I'm not sure she makes the final. We'll have to see. There's some tough matches along the way. I mean, Gent at number 6, Pizzo at number 3, another thrower, another headlocker, another exciting wrestler to watch, Pizzo at number 3. So it's going to be very interesting to watch the bottom side of this and to see, you know, can Jasmine Hernandez, you know, get the wins over those, you know, those top ranked opponents to make that final. So it's going to be a very fun weight class to watch. Let's see. You know, if I'm reading my records right here, I think Hernandez last year, looks like she does have a win over Gent last year. And maybe, I think she beat Peyton Stroud as well. So she's got some nice wins. But again, if we're talking about, you know, top three, top five, I think we've yet to see that. Not that she can't do it, but, you know, we're going to find out. Can she get those wins and you know, can she make that final? Can she win a national title here? It's going to be fun to watch that play out this weekend in Jamestown. Okay, onward to 130. Oh, gosh. Bridget Doody, man, she has just been off the chain this year. I mean, she's been amazing. She's the Mid-South Conference Wrestler of the Year. Her closest match this year was Felicity Bryant. She beat her 10-8, even though, hold up, she did lose to Lexi Basham at the York Open. Looks like, I don't see Basham in these brackets. I think she's out, which is disappointing. I think she's been out since January. Might have gotten injured in that match against Zavala. I'm not sure when she went out, but it might have been at that time. But, you know, Bridget Doody, other than that match against Basham, you know, she's just been a force. Some of you may have seen that video where she's kind of goofing off right before a match and giving this funny stare across the mat at her opponent and then goes out and wrecks her. I mean, she's just so powerful, you know, to watch her wrestle. Got to be the heavy favorite here. But again, there's some good wrestlers along the way. I think the bottom, gosh, it seems like it, you know, Vitteritti from Campbellsville is very tough. She's had some nice wins this year, but I think she's beatable. And I just don't think it's not the sure thing that you have the 1-2 making the final here. I think the bottom is going to be, a battle to get through that side, whoever gets through. Let me read the seeds off here. Bridget Doody, number 1 from Cumberland's, number 2, Angela Vitteritti from Campbellsville, number 3, Mia Muller from Texas Wesleyan, number 4, Macy Higa from Eastern Oregon, number 5, Brianna Kellen from Life, number 6, Alexandra Bowdoin from Jamestown, number 7, Riley Dalrymple from Life, and number 8, where's my number 8, Carolina Ortiz from Missouri Baptist. I think the bottom side, you're going to see some very good matches, close matches, especially from the quarters and, you know, to the semis. You know, you've got Vitteritti there at number 2. You've got Mia Muller at number 3. And then you've got Sophia Smith from Oklahoma City. Very tough wrestler, unseeded. Looks like she's got a bye. So she's likely going to run into Muller, the 3 seed, assuming Muller gets through her round of 32 match. You know, then you've got Bowdoin from Jamestown there. And you got Riley Dalrymple from Life, seated number 7. You know, she potentially could run into Vitteritti in the quarterfinal there. And she actually lost a few weeks ago to Vitteritti. It was kind of a weird sequence where they hit heads and Riley kind of fell backwards. I'm not saying Vitti Ritti wasn't the better wrestler, but you know, that's an odd way to lose. Probably ain't going to happen that way this time. If Riley gets to wrestle that whole match without that kind of weird freak thing happening, you know, what does that match look like? Well, we might find out in the quarters. So pay attention to that. I'm going to have to say Riley Dalrymple, number 7. My dark horse, you know, Riley from Life University, also from New York. Definitely rooting for her. And, you know, I think she's capable of going a long way in this tournament and capable of, you know, at least making that semi. And, you know, and she's capable of making the finals and going all the way here. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think Brianna Kellen on the top side, seated number 5. You know, I think she certainly has the talent and the skill set to be seated higher. You know, I think Macy Higa is great, the 4th seed. She's fun to watch. She took 3rd at WCWAs in 2019. She's one of those wrestlers you got to watch out for. I remember at WCWAs in 2019 in at Life University down in Georgia. She put on a show, man. She had some of those ooh and ah throws. So, you know, she's capable of big moves. So she's fun to watch there. Looks like it could be a Kellen Higa quarterfinal. You know, I think Kellen could definitely get through that match, but you know, depends on if Higa can get to her offense. Going to be an interesting match to watch. But don't count out Diana Jasezeva from Waldorf. Not quite sure how to pronounce that name. That was my best crack at it. But she's had some big wins. She's not seeded, but she's a very tough wrestler. She's been ranked before in our rankings, and you know, she's a tough out. So keep an eye on her. Don't count her out as well. So that is the 130-pound weight class. Lots of good matches there. You know, definitely pay attention to the bottom side of this bracket at 130 this weekend in North Dakota. That's how they say it in New York City, North Dakota. All right, on to 136. By the way, going back to 130, yeah, I'm thinking the favorite there. You know, my pick is definitely going to be Bridget Doody. The year she's had, I think she wins her first national title, but we'll see how that goes. Okay, 136. Almost Desiree Zavala. Next topic. I mean, yeah, I think I'd be shocked if she didn't win a national title here in this bracket. She's a 1 seed. You do have the return of Destiny Ling, the 4 seed from Oklahoma City. She took 5th at the MoVal last year. She actually had a win over Anna Luciano, who was just the national runner-up in the NCAAs. She only lost to Alara Boyd 6-4. She has a win over Sierra Foster. Destiny Ling is no joke, and even though I do think Zavala wins this, Ling is a tough out. She's a very good wrestler. On the bottom side, you've got the 2 seed, Randy Robeson. Is she a sophomore? I think she's a sophomore from Campbellsville. Let me go through the seedings here. Number 1, Desiree Zavala from Wayland Baptist. Number 2, Randy Robeson from Campbellsville. Number 3, Andrea Schlebach from Grandview. Number 4, Destiny Link from Oklahoma City. Number 5, Angelina Prado from Life. Number 6, Luisita Jara from Jamestown. Number 7, Madison Parker from Oklahoma City. And number 8, Charmaine DeLong from Indiana Tech. Again, like, haven't seen a lot of these women wrestle. Like, it's just hard to know. You know, Oklahoma City hasn't wrestled a lot. You got, you know, 2 of the top 8 seeds are from Oklahoma City, Destiny Ling and Madison Parker. So, you know, I just get ready for a lot of surprises at this tournament. Randy Robeson's a very tough wrestler, number 2. She's getting better and better. You know, she's had some big wins for Campbellsville. She dominated the Mid-South Conference Tournament, you know, had a win over Prado, the 5 seed from Life. She has a win over Kalish, had a win over Kalish from Bruton Parker. Look for her to be very tough. Look for if this goes chalk and she runs into Schlebach from Grandview in the semi, look for that to be a very, very competitive semi on the bottom side. But at the end of the day, I expect Zavala to get through and win the national title. As far as dark horses, do I have one? Let me see here. Scrolling through. Gosh. I guess Destiny Ling, is a four seed, a dark horse. Just because she, haven't seen her much on the mat recently. And I do think she's probably a little better than that four seed. So, I don't know. Look for her to be the dark horse. If she beats Zavala, I think she wins the national title. But we'll see what level is she at, when somebody's returning to the mat after being off for a while. Sometimes, like we saw with Brenda Reyna on the NCAA side, she kind of started slow coming back from a surgery and being off for 2 years and, didn't look like her old self, didn't look great, looked good, but not great leading up to the national tournament. And then, at the Captain's Cup and the national tournament, Brenda Reyna she just became the Avenger version of herself and won a national title. So I don't know. We'll have to watch and see what Destiny Ling is right now and who she is. And, is she at that version that beat Luciano and Sierra Foster and, that two-time WCWA All-American. So we'll keep an eye on that weight class, 136. Okay, moving on to 143. We have Wai Puilani Estrella Beauchamp from Midland, the Hawaii state champion, the number one seed. Fantastic wrestler. Pretty sure she's a freshman. Took third at the U23. She is undefeated on the season. Had a win over Felicity Bryant, actually, who just took third in the NCAA. So, this wrestler is a very serious problem for everybody else in this bracket. Definitely the favorite to win this. I'll go through the seeds now. You got Estrella Beauchamp there from Midland, number one. Sydney Friend, not sure how you pronounce that, from Oklahoma City, the two seed. Number three, Emma Walker from Campbellsville. The fourth seed, Samantha Snow from Indiana Tech. The five seed, Jordan Suarez from Wayland Baptist. The sixth seed, Aaron Redford from Eastern Oregon. Seventh seed, Ashley Ickner from Cumberlands. And the eighth seed, Nancy Becerra from Missouri Valley. Okay, so you've got, Estrella Beauchamp, I think the heavy favorite, the number one seed. You got Friend, the two seed on the bottom side of the bracket. She lost to Estrella Beauchamp 6-2 earlier this year, and she had a win over Jordan Suarez 10-9. And the reason I mentioned Suarez is I think she's a freshman as well, but she plays third at Junior Nationals. She had a win over Phoenix DuBose. Phoenix DuBose just took third in the NCAA too, so Suarez is very tough wrestler. On the top side there, I think she could, make that semi and it could pull the upset over Samantha Snow, even though Samantha Snow at number four is also very tough. Actually, one of the NAIA coaches told me, and it wasn't the Indiana Tech coach, that Samantha Snow was her dark horse. So we'll see how well Snow does. Then you've got Emma Walker, powerhouse third seed from Campbellsville. I think the bottom side of this bracket, very, very competitive. Walker at the three seed, Friend at the two seed. And then, for a dark horse on the bottom side here, I think Akina Yamada, unseeded from Waldorf. She took sixth at the MOVAL a couple years ago. Again, very tough tournament. It says a lot about, how competitive she is, even though she's unseeded. I think she could give some problems to the seeded wrestlers and could steal a spot on the podium before it's all said and done. And on the top side, Nancy Becerra from Missouri Valley actually beat Yamada 13-4 in the finals of the Heart of America Conference Championship. So she's got to be a dark horse on the top side, the eighth seed there. At the end of the day, I think that Suarez Snow potential quarter is going to be a very competitive and exciting match to watch. I don't know. I think Suarez might win that and make the semi, and then I think Beauchamp makes the final, and you know, we'll see who gets through that bottom side. My pick is Emma Walker from Campbellsville to get through the bottom side, but we'll see how well Sydney Frun from Oklahoma City can do, and if she can get through that bottom side to make that final. But again, I'm a broken record here. I mean, these weight classes are so deep. You know, there's going to be so many good matches, and I think so many surprises. There's so many good unseeded wrestlers. Another very good weight class, 143. Okay, moving on to 155, top eight seeds. Number one, Sierra Foster. Number two, Morgan McGuinness from Baker. Number three, that's not fair. I mean, to ask me to, to on the spot try to pronounce this Hawaiian name, I mean, it literally is the longest name I've ever seen. And it's a beautiful name, but it is just very long. I'll try it, and then I'll give you the what I think is probably the shortened version. Let's see. Kamala Mayao Ko Mahilani Lewis from Midland. So let's say Mahilani Lewis from Midland. She's a three seed. Number four, Tiana Askew from Missouri Baptist. Number five, Kendra Thompson from Campbellsville. Number six, India Page. I had Indiana Jones on the brain. India Page from Bruton Parker. Number seven, Destiny Rivera from Life. And number eight, Sienna Ramirez from Southern Oregon. 2016 Cadet World Team member Sierra Foster. She's back. She won the Grandview Open. She beat the number two and number four seeds there at the Grandview Open. Well deserving of the number one seed, Sierra Foster. See if she can make that final. The number four seed, Tiana Askew, lost to Sierra Foster 10-0 at the Grandview Open. But, you know, Askew from Missouri Baptist, the four seed, beat Alexis Gomez, who's actually notable. She's not in this bracket, Alexis Gomez from Grandview. I'm not sure what's going on there, but she's not going to be competing at the national tournament. You know, at one point, I think she would have been considered the number one at this weight class earlier in the year. You know, Askew, even though she lost to Foster 10-0 at the Grandview Open, she had that win over Gomez, a tech fall 16-6, and she also beat India Page by fall. So, you know, she's very competitive. But if, you know, if their last match says anything, Foster, if they end up hitting in the semis, Foster gets through that match and makes the final. Even though on the top side you've got Kendra Thompson, how good is she? She has a win over Samantha Snow, a win over India Page at 143. She's now up at 155. You know, how good is Kendra Thompson? Can she get through Sierra Foster? Can she get through Askew from Missouri Baptist? Even though I got to say my dark horse is the eight seed, Sienna Ramirez from Southern Oregon. She was fifth at the 2019 WCWA National. She's a senior. She actually had a win over Ashlyn Ortega at that 2019 tournament, if I read my results right. So she's my dark horse. Ramirez, you know, she could surprise everybody and make that final on the top side. So I don't know. We'll see. Again, Southern Oregon's a little bit of a mystery this year. You know, how good are they? We shall find out. On the bottom side, honestly, to me, it's a crapshoot. It's anybody's game. You know, you got Mahilani Lewis at number three, Morgan McGuinness at number four. She lost to Sierra Foster at the Grandview Open 13-10, very competitive match, and I lost to Alexis Gomez 10-0. So, you know, I mean, she's a very good wrestler, but I think beatable. So, you know, I don't see her not getting to the semi. So the question is, who makes the semi against her, India Page or, you know, Mahilani Lewis from Midland? That'll be a very interesting storyline to see play out there, to see, who, you know, if McGuinness makes that semi, you know, who's going to come out of the top side of the bottom. Indiana Page, you know, her coach said earlier this year in an article we did on Bruton Parker, she's going to make a name for herself this year, and she certainly has. And if she gets through the three seed and makes that semi, you know, talk about getting on the map. So we'll see how that plays out. So So that is 155. Of note, no Gladys Palma. She's from Southern Oregon, right? Southern Oregon, yeah. Not in the bracket. I'm not sure what happened there. She was in the rankings earlier this year, and you know, to me, she would have been somebody that could have made some, you know, real noise in this bracket and even won it. But she's not in there. And then where's Kaylin Albrecht from Wayland Baptist? I'm not sure if she's injured or what's going on there. You know, saw her wrestle at the junior and U23s. You know, she placed there. I don't think it was her best performance, but a lot of people didn't have their best performance after COVID. Disappointing not seeing her in this bracket. I think, you know, she's one of the best in college wrestling right now. And so not having Palma and Albrecht, you know, really makes 155 as a whole. Like, to me, I would say this is the most difficult weight class to predict, you know, who's going to win the national title. You know, I think any one of, you know, 10 women could. So I think two more, I'll just mention two more potential dark horses. Keep an eye on Brooklyn Rush from Missouri Valley, unseated, and Dempsey Talkington from Eastern Oregon. I think she could All-American. She had two very close matches, losses against Pisano from Southern Oregon last year at the Cascade. But very good. She had a win over Marilyn Garcia from Menlo last year. She's a very good wrestler, not seeded. So, again, this weight class is up for grabs in my mind. We will see who ends up on top. You know, the one seed Sierra Foster certainly had a good year and deserving of that number one seed. We'll see if she can, you know, come out of that side and make that final and win a national title. So that is 155. Okay, on to 170 pounds. Okay. I have a note in my notes here that says, see the preview. That we wrote. Okay, this weight class is a little bit of a tangle. I mean, Alexandra Castillo, the 2020 WCWA champ, is definitely deserving of that number one seed. She actually had a win over number four senior ranked Precious Bell at Senior Nationals last fall. That's a huge win for her. But it's not like she's dominated this weight class. I mean, she's deserving of the one seed, but, you know, the top four women here are very close. She beat the number two seed, Jordan Nelson, 3-2 earlier this year. And then Jordan Nelson beat Hunter Robinson, 3-2, who's the number three seed this year. And then the number four seed beat Robinson 2-1 earlier in the season. And when they met a second time, it was Hunter Robinson, the three seed, beating Cooper, the four seed, 7-6. So, I mean, these women are literally like millimeters apart, these top four. So it's going to be a very fun weight class to watch. Very similar to the NCAA tournament where you had number one, Elena McCoy, had number two, Joy Levandusky, and number three, Tristan Kelly, you know, who battled all year against each other and had wins against each other. And then, you know, had a very tight top three race in the tournament there in the NCAAs. You're going to see a tight race in 170 here. So let me just read off the seeds. You've got Alexandra Castillo, the number one seed from Missouri Valley. Number two, Jordan Nelson from Life. Number three, Hunter Robinson from Grandview. Number four, Chimera Cooper from Cumberlands. Number five, Sierra Talmadge from Jamestown. Number six, Mahilani Ramirez. There's that name again. From Missouri Valley. Number seven, Jennifer Curry from Baker. Number eight, Shania Goen from Missouri Baptist. So I think Jordan Nelson, I think Coach Ashley Sword told me that they just had some exhibitions against some senior team members to get ready for this national tournament. I think Jordan Nelson had like a 12-8 or 11-8 match with Precious Bell. That's a very good match. She lost, but you know, very competitive match against, you know, an elite senior level wrestler. So, you know, Jordan Nelson's a wrestler that, you know, I think if her mindset is dialed in, she could definitely, you know, have her hand held up winning a national title at the end of all this. Hunter Robinson, I think I just saw, it was either on Twitter or Instagram, you know, her talking about her own mindset and how earlier in the year she kind of lost confidence a little bit, but she's coming into this tournament, you know, very confident and, you know, the best version of herself. So I do think that is a very tight semi. If this goes chalk and you have Robinson versus Nelson in the semi, on the top side, again, Cooper, Castillo, I think that could be a really close semi if that ends up being the semi. So, gosh, I think we're talking about matches that could come down to one sequence, you know, in these semis, like, you know, whoever wins a scramble or a position or, you know, scores last and gets the criteria win. I mean, I do think these matches could come down to that. I think this is going to be a very tight and fun weight class to watch. That's how we love it as wrestling fans, right? The wrestlers don't like it because those are the most nerve-wracking matches, but man, these are the matches we want to see. This top four and 170, these matches are going to be fantastic. So, you know, pay attention, especially once it gets to the semis, if it goes chalk. And if it doesn't go chalk, then you're going to see, you know, whoever beats any of these top four seeds, you're probably going to see them give tough matches to the higher seeds as well. So, you know, you've got, you know, Sierra Talmadge from Jamestown and Jennifer Curry, you know, Mahialani Ramirez, Shania Goen. So, you know, as far as a dark horse, oh gosh, I don't have one. I mean, I do think the winner is going to come out of that top four. I don't know who it's going to be. I guess you'd have to pick Castillo because, you know, her win over Precious Bell and, you know, her her WCWA title last year. But I don't know. I'm picking Jordan Nelson. I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Jordan Nelson to win this. She's my favorite to win this. We shall see. Okay, going on to the final weight class, 191. We are almost home, folks. Okay, number one seed from Oklahoma City, Chi-Chi Nwankwo. Number two, Elisa Robinson from Baker. Number three, Makoya Bernabe from Cumberland. Number four, Kalani Corbett from Lion. Number five, Catherine Palmieri from Life. Number six, Charity Goldsmith Ding from York. Number seven, Kelly Lacoste from Jamestown. And number eight, Martha Viscara from Baker. Okay. You know, one, right away, one thing that's interesting about this group, actually, is I see Brianna Stabler's name in there from Campbellsville. Kind of cool. Like, she was actually a high school student earlier this year and graduated early. And in the spring semester, joined the Campbellsville roster. And here she is in the Nationals. So, I don't know. It's going to be fun to watch. And I guess you'd have to say dark horse, and certainly would be a Cinderella story if she, you know, could go deep in this tournament. I don't think she gets through Chi-Chi Nwankwo, though. But she was a Fargo champ and definitely a very good wrestler with a very bright future in college wrestling. I think the favorite is Chi-Chi Nwankwo. She took fourth at U23s. And actually, kind of a personal tie there. She lost in the consolation finals to my daughter Joy 3-1. But man, she's just tough, holds position, very stingy, very tough to score on. You know, she's got some leg attacks that are very good, you know, especially for this upper weight class. So look for Nwankwo, in my mind, to win this tournament. I think she's the favorite. You got Elisa Robinson, a freshman from Baker. So pretty cool that she's a two seed. Did she have enough firepower to get through this bracket? We shall see. Number three, Makoya Bernabe from Cumberland's. She was the Mid-South Conference champion, and she actually took 2-3 losses this year. She won to Agatha Andrews, who wasn't Agatha. Well, she was one of the top-ranked women at this weight class. Took some losses earlier in the year, but came on late. Another freshman. So the 2 and 3 seed are both freshmen. So, you know, the bottom side of this bracket is very young. So it's going to be exciting for them, you know, to be on this stage and to see who gets through and makes that final. But I don't think, I don't think that they get through Chi-Chi Nwankwo to win this tournament. I do think Chi-Chi's toughest matches could be on the top side of this bracket. Kalani Corbett, She's been up and down between 170 and 191. She's, you know, obviously wrestling 191 for this national tournament. She was a Fargo champion. She's a sophomore, 16-4 last year. Lost to Chi-Chi Nwankwo 4-0. I think that might have been last season, but you know, she's competitive, and you know, that's a very close freestyle match. So does she have the offense now to actually score against Nwankwo? You know, if that match happens in the semis, that'll be interesting to see. Even though I'm going to name my dark horse, Catherine Palmieri from Life. I'm pretty sure she's from Tennessee, which is going to be my new home state. My family and I are moving to Tennessee in a couple months. So I guess a little shout out and, you know, maybe give me some good grace with the wrestling community in Tennessee to pick Catherine Palmieri as my dark horse. But she's certainly worthy of that distinction and, you know, that vote of confidence. So, you know, we'll see if she can get through that side. If she can get through Corbett, you know, she could do some damage on this side of the bracket. No Agatha Andrews from Jamestown. Not sure why she's not in this bracket, but she ain't in it. So, and then again, you've got a lot of unknown, kind of unseeded women spun out in this group. And I mean, I'm seeing some of these names. I don't even know some of these wrestlers. But we might know them before it's all said and done. So, again, get ready to be surprised at the NAIA Championships this weekend. It's going to be super fun to watch. Two-day tournament plays out. That's how you pause on radio. You don't want dead air. So, yeah, that's the NCAA. I'm looking for the dates here. Okay, March 12th and 13th. I think that's Friday, Saturday. So, okay, so yeah, keep your eye on the team race. I don't even think I ever finished that conversation though. You got Campbellsville number one, Life ranked number two, Wayland Baptist ranked number three, Grandview ranked number four, Cumberland's ranked number five, and Southeast Oregon and Jamestown tied for rank number six ranking. I think again, Campbellsville's a favorite. Life could definitely overtake them. And Southern Oregon is a little bit of a mystery. Who knows what they could do? So be a fun team race to watch. You know, again, Wayland Baptist, Grandview, even Jamestown with eight champs at the Kansas Collegiate Conference Tournament. I can't wait. I hope you're excited. I'm excited. It's just great to see wrestling again. You know, it's been a very hard year for the wrestling community. And you know, these wrestling programs, you know, these coaches have done so much to make these events happen. The protocols, the restrictions they've had to put up with from the universities, the outbreaks of COVID in their programs, the contact tracing, pain in the neck. But you know, bravo to the coaches. You know, we appreciate you, we admire you, grateful that you know this event is happening, and it looks like it's, you know, it's a full blown version of this event. I mean, again, deep weight classes, big weight classes. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we'll see you on the backside of this, and we'll do a recap podcast of the NAIAs probably early next week. You can be looking for that. So thanks for listening. And until next time, I am out. Thanks for listening to AWW Radio.